Yeah, we, as soon as we get it, then we give it to them. So they have to get it from us.
Okay, here we go. House Committee on Revenue will come to order. We'll open a public hearing on House Bill 3379.
Chair Barnhart, members of the committee, this bill is about voluntary contribution programs. It allows any state agency to establish voluntary contribution programs that allow persons to make voluntary contributions to be used for projects identified the agency as worthy of funding and of interest to the public, but for which no or inadequate funding sources exist. And it's established these account, a voluntary contributions account, in the general fund.
Right, and it is permissive, not mandatory.
It is permissive.
Okay,
yes,
so the agency gets to do it if they think it's going to be useful for them.
That's correct.
All right. And do we have anyone to be heard?
Want to hear one yet?
We'll see. Maybe the shortest public hearing ever.
It's your bill.
I know it is.
No, we'll be standing in front of you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Well, colleagues, I will just simply note that Representative Buckley had a bill that would establish a program like this for one particular agency. And I approached him and said, well, why don't we allow any agency that meets these criteria to do it? And I'm perfectly willing to answer questions about it, but it seems like a pretty simple idea to me. Okay, with that, we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 3379 and open the public hearing on House Bill 3167.
That's a perfectly good idea.
Thank you.
I'll support it.
It's a great idea. Jean.
Thank you, Chair Barnhart, members of the committee. House Bill 3167 would eliminate the discount for partial payment of property taxes, and it would require that the property taxes be paid in two installments or less, rather than the current requirement that property taxes can be paid in three installments. And it removes references to either the three installments that would happen throughout statute or the discounts that would happen throughout statute.
All right. Questions? Do we have anyone to be heard on this bill?
Okay.
So we can just pass it. It'll be just fine. Simple. Yes, Representative Vaughn.
I'm wondering what kind of information that we have from cities and others that are collecting the property taxes to make sure that they have adequate cash flow reserves to make sure that this type of a situation doesn't impact them in a negative way.
I think if we were going to have a work session on the bill, we'd want to absolutely have that information.
And you know, one of the things that I learned on city council over the last couple of years is the way that cash flow management works. And if you have a city that can avoid taking out the notes for cash flow purposes, it saves them a lot of money. But it's very difficult to do. It took Troutdale almost a decade to build up 3 months of cash flow reserves.
Yes.
And once they've done that, you're good. But if you haven't done that, it can create a real problem.
Which kind of interests me about why we haven't heard from anybody. Maybe they think it's fine and they don't need any comments. Or Representative Berger.
With apologies, this was an idea that I first heard from my own city councilman. And he's not here today, but I will go back and ask him that.
It's a very good question.
Thank you.
But I would think that the counties and cities and school districts might actually have an interest in this bill. I have to tell you, I find this concept very, very, very interesting. So anyone out there might want to think about whether they want to make some comments on it at some later time.
And one last thing, too, is that I know that maybe one of the reasons why it's not as interesting as we might thought it would be is because so many people pay into an escrow for the purposes of paying their tax, their property taxes. So the percentage of people that actually pay on their own out of pocket, where it might affect a household budget, is probably lower.
Yeah, anyone who has a mortgage or trustee or anything like that. That's the way it works, isn't it?
Most of the time.
Most of the time.
Most of the time.
The payment you make once a month includes the principal, interest, taxes, and insurance, and the homeowner himself never has to deal with the issue.
That's right.
Except to make the monthly payment. Right.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, with that, I don't see anyone dashing to the podium. With that, we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 3167. Friday mornings are great morning. We should schedule more things on Friday morning.
We'd be moving things.
Are we ready on either of these bills? Do I open a work session on any of these bills?
Yes, 2569.
2569. We'll open a work session on that bill, 2569. Is that yours, too?
Yes.
Yeah. I think we have some conversation to have on it. Wait a minute. Do we have enough people? I have to close the work session. I don't have a quorum.
Right.
No quorum. We will stand at ease. Hopefully we'll get a quorum. The Committee on Revenue will come back to order, and we'll open a work session now that we have a quorum on House Bill 2569. Go ahead. Let's talk about where we are.
Okay. Thank you, Chair Barnhart. The House Bill 2569, it would, for property tax appeals with over $1 million at issue, that would be $1 million in real market value, or specially assessed value at issue, it gives county assessors the option to issue a deferred billing credit to the taxpayer. This would, in the event of a successful appeal, eliminate the requirement that the taxpayer be paid 12% interest by the local governments and taxing districts. The amendment clarifies a number of issues related to the implementation of the bill. It clarifies that the amount of issues, the real market value or specially assessed value. It would also remove the provision that allows the deferred billing credit to be issued on property owned by separate taxpayers and requires that the property be owned by a single taxpayer. It adds the provision that a deferred billing credit may be issued on a property tax statement as well as in a separate notice of deferred billing. This would have relevance in years where an appeal will go for multiple years, and a credit should be issued each year for the amount at issue, and it might come out in the tax statement rather than in a separate notice. The amendment also clarifies that the amount of tax in a deferred billing credit that was delinquent before the credit was issued will not be considered delinquent once the credit is issued and before the appeal is resolved, so it suspends any delinquent interest or things like that. Additionally, the amendment also requires the county assessor to issue a quarterly report to the governing body of a county on any outstanding deferred billing credits. If there were no outstanding deferred credits at the time, they wouldn't have to issue this report. And finally, it adds the 3% discount to any taxes that might be refunded upon the resolution of an appeal, just to make it consistent with the discount that's available other places in statute.
Which, of course, might be amended if the other bill we just heard passes.
Yes.
Okay. So, were there some, I don't want to put you on the spot, but were there some things that you wanted to say about the work on this bill?
Thank you very much. There are still some open issues that we're trying to work through. We actually met yesterday again and looked to an outside property tax attorney as well, in addition to me talking with three assessors and DOR and a very good work group. So over two work groups plus that conversation yesterday, the remaining issues where I think we're going, and I've not, and I apologize, not had a chance to look at this, we looked at the deferred billing credit at limiting it to protect taxpayers from both an over-assessment, you know, to make sure that over-assessments are not happening just to have over-assessments, and also to make sure that the appeals process is not artificially elongated, that it's still important to have some amount at risk. But rather than mess around with the rate of the 12%, we talked about a, and this was a great suggestion by staff, approximately maybe a 50% of the deferred billing credit can be issued. That way it provides relief at both to the tax collection agencies and the districts that are vulnerable to it, and also provides some integrity from the taxpayer balancing side. So it wasn't to do away with it completely, but partially. 50% has only been out there as a discussion. It has not been determined. The other remaining issue, and we were going towards providing two definitions. We struggled with single business enterprise, and we haven't found one term that fits all. And we when I left, and maybe you can talk about what you discussed after I left for my other meeting, but we talked about providing two definitions, one for centrally assessed properties and another definition for all the other properties. Maybe you can speak to those. Sure. Chair Barnhart, Representative Eric Brewer, we didn't get into it too deeply after you had left, but I think the question would be, you know, how this would be applicable, how if there's a parent company and then some subsidiaries that own different pieces of property, how they would be allowed to be aggregated for the purposes of this billing credit. And there's a question as to whether we would want to have separate specifications for centrally assessed taxpayers versus locally assessed taxpayers for that purpose. So there's some details still that need to be worked out on that.
Okay. Representative Wan?
Yeah, I think from the discussions that I was at yesterday, I was in district, so I wasn't able to make it, but the solution that seems the most, makes the most sense to me individually is the idea of limiting the credit to 1 year or 2 years or 18 months. And the reason for that is that it maintains an enticement to resolve these issues quickly. And, you know, my experience has been that a year or two is a very garden variety, typical, normal amount of time to resolve a court case. And in particular, based on what we heard during the public hearing, the tax court wants to move faster even than a regular trial, and so until you get into the Oregon Supreme Court or the appeals court, you know, 2 years is easily they can get it done, is kind of the information that I received. So,
yeah,
if I might respond, we did take that up at a work group meeting. Representative Wand was, I don't think you were at that particular one when we discussed that, and some of the feedback was actually providing teeth to that because that compels the courts than to fit on our timeline, and that was thought to be problematic. Plus, there's multiple years in an appeal, and so you can issue a deferred billing credit for 1 year, and, you know, if we have 5 years under appeal or some aggregation of years, it may be also problematic for that.
Right, except that there's a cascading law. So when you go forward and you're contesting in year one, 2008, say, then moving forward in 2009 and 2010, you don't have to create new and separate appeals in order for the finding in 2008 to be applicable. They go back at the end of the case and they move forward and recalculate based upon the finding from tax year 2008. So I'm less concerned with that, open to hearing more information, but not thinking in my mind that that's the end of the world.
Did you want to be heard? I'm seeing frowns out there, and I don't want to... No, not you. Counties. Yeah. I mean, if you're interested, that's up to you.
Well, Mr. Chair, we're very interested, of course.
Yeah, I thought you might be.
Yeah.
And then I saw the frown, and...
Well, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you. Gil Riddell, Association of Oregon Counties. I would just say I don't know who was at this meeting yesterday, and I was unable to attend the first two work group meetings, so I'm at a bit of a disadvantage. But I would say that remind the committee that what we're talking about are very large value appeals, and the amount of disputes going to be quite large, and the threat of if there's a question about the incentive for the appraiser to get it right, the threat of not collecting and not distributing these large amounts for revenue for public services provides, we believe, enough incentive to get it right. So we would like to keep the concept as simple as possible and have it as stated in the amendments, that it would apply to disputed amounts. It could go as long as necessary. And I think the taxing districts will tell you they have far less incentive to elongate the process. The reason why we got together initially to talk about this concept was that we found that things were elongated in spite of our intense interest that they not be. So the Department of Revenue will do these appraisals for the most part because they are very large and centrally assessed. And so we're very comfortable with the dash one. The others, I think, the other ideas, all due respect, complicate the concept unnecessarily.
Yes, Representative Brewer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. At our first two work groups that were together, and just for the record, yesterday, it was a conversation with a property tax attorney and a member from the business community, and then two LRO staff. And that was at my request to get from an outside practitioner just some input, and then to have staff there to make sure that we were asking some appropriate questions, since we had not had a private practitioner at the work groups, and that was brought up about having that. What I understand is before we ever saw this bill that came before us, that you had all gotten together to try and address the problem, and that admittedly that all proposed solutions were flawed. And as what was said at the work group was, this is the least bad of all bad proposals. So coming to us with this, we're acknowledging that, in fact, there is much room for improvement, and not removing the deferred billing credit at 100%, issuing a billing credit at 100% of the risk analysis done by the assessors is not palatable to me, and that is the number one issue besides the single business enterprise issue at both work groups and yesterday in the phone call, which remained unanswered. We went through a lot of iterations, and proportionality of the billing credit is the one that seemed workable by everybody. So we're still dealing with a bad of bad solutions, but we're just now trying to minimize it, protecting both interests of the taxpayer and the government. So I just wanted to bring you up to speed on that.
Thank you. As apparent, we have some additional work to do. Oh, okay, please. We have some additional work to do on the issue. If you're planning to comment on Representative Brewer's comments, I'd rather hold it and continue the discussion in the work group rather than in the committee.
Chair Barnhart, yeah, we can do that then. That was
thank you. Thank you. I think we're still struggling to understand what the ramifications of this whole issue is. From my point of view, it doesn't sound as though the work group thinks that this is an appropriate area for inquiry, and that may very well be correct, this kind of issue comes up because we have what turned out to be, given our current economic world, very, very high interest rates built in all across the property tax system. And not just on this area, but in other areas too. And figuring out, it may be part of the solution to figure out how to set an interest rate which more reasonably reflects reality in the world at any given moment. We held a different work group on a different topic last night, and at that time, one of the LRO staff discussed the, or someone, maybe it was someone else in the work group, discussed the reality that sticking a number in statute is not a very realistic way of proceeding, because economic conditions change so rapidly that the legislature cannot possibly keep up. Some other approach might be the way to go, and I would commend that, for whatever it's worth, to the work group to consider as a different possibility for dealing with the issue we're facing. After all, the problem came out of the whole business of having to regurgitate taxes that have already been received, and not only taxes that have already been received, but then interest to be paid on them as well. So I have no claim for that this is the right solution, that I'm proposing anything in the right direction. I don't know that, but I think it might be worth a look, along with the other things you're looking at. Representative Berger?
No.
No? Anyone else? No. Okay, well, with that, we'll close the work session then on House Bill 2569. I want to announce that we received word that we will not have a fiscal on House Bill 3188 for today. We do expect it by Tuesday. We do. We expect it by Tuesday. Our next meeting is on Tuesday, so we will hold over House Bill, the work session on House Bill 3188,
Mr. Co-Chair,
to Tuesday. Representative Juan, one moment. Did I get the announcement right? I got what we needed for the rule. Okay, please.
Well, we have a dash one amendment to HB 3188 that's already in possession of the committee. Do we want to open a work session and amend that
and
today?
Talk about that? Can I do that after having made that announcement?
Yes.
I can. All right. I think that's a great idea. We'll open the work session on House Bill 3188 for the purpose of discussing the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair.
Please. Yeah.
Thanks. the amendment was drafted to address a couple of concerns that we received from a handful of the counties. And it, just in case you don't have it, what it does is it makes the hiring of an employee to administer economic development funds a may instead of a shall, and that required two changes on two different lines. And then secondly, my office received word from the Oregon State Lottery that, you know, they're not all that interested in receiving this information. But as it turns out, the Department of Administrative Services is happy to receive this information, and in fact, they'll go one better, and they will put it on the Oregon Transparency website. And so that's the second portion of this amendment, changes the reporting requirement from the Oregon State Lottery to DAS, and it specifies for posting on the Oregon Transparency website. So those are the changes in the amendment that pretty much brought all the objections I ever heard about the bill and resolved them.
Okay. I'm a little bit slow. Could you go back over the shall and may issue again?
Yes. As originally drafted, the language was such that the counties were required to hire somebody to administer the economic development funds.
Okay.
And because
some counties are pretty small, aren't they?
Well, and actually, it skipped over my review of it for some just various reasons. I'm human too, but seems that everybody is on board if it's a permissive instead of a requirement.
Okay, so line 14, you add the word may before the word use, and that makes it permissive to hire someone to manage the money.
That's right.
All right. So in a department in a county that gets $12,412, you don't need to do this.
You would not need to hire somebody.
You wouldn't have to hire someone.
You'd still have
to manage the money appropriately, but hiring someone to do it would be counterproductive, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
All right. Anything else? No. Well, I guess there is something else. we'll deal with that later. So my proposal then is that we deal with the amendment and any motion to move the bill to the floor on Tuesday, when presumably we'll have the fiscal. We have all the other papers we need now. Yes? Okay.
Will this amendment affect the fiscal in any way?
The fiscal has to be on the amendment.
So maybe we should move.
But you're getting the fiscal on the amendment.
Right.
Okay, so the fiscal, the fiscal is different with the amendment than without it, and that's the one we're missing, the one on the amendment.
Okay.
Well,
Yes?
Sorry, Mr. Chair. No, we don't have a fiscal at all.
Okay.
But what we asked for is a fiscal on the amendment. Because it seems like the bill probably would be a huge more fiscal without the amendment.
Right.
Because it requires all these counties to actually hire.
Well, should we find out today whether people want the amendment or not? Representative Berger?
I would suggest
Why don't you make a motion?
I would move the dash one amendment to House Bill 3188.
All right, we can do that because we don't need the fiscal to move an amendment. Is there any discussion about the amendment? Any objection to the amendment? Okay, then the amendment passes. Now you've got it clear
right. That
the fiscal is on the amendment. All right. Anything else on this one today? Since we can't move it because we can't follow the House rule on having all the paperwork in today. All right, so with that, we'll close the work session on House Bill 3188 as amended, and we will consider it again on Tuesday. All right?
Mr. Chair.
Our agenda, having been exhausted a little earlier than normal, committee is adjourned.